Today I want to talk about this question. What do we really want? And I want to talk about the answers. And there were a lot of answers to this question because there were a lot of levels and context from which to ask it and to answer it. But rather than state that it is too complex to even consider, what I'd rather do is to explore it to see if there are useful patterns that we can discover in this exploration. Rather than building up to a final answer at the end of this conversation, kind of like a crescendo in a classical piece of music, I'm going to take the advice of the military instructors I had when I was in the U.S. Army. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you, and then finally I'm going to tell you what I told you. In the Army, we had this process, and we found it to be helpful for students and instructors. First, it helped the students get a framework in which to hang this information, whether it was new or not. They had some place to hang it. And secondly, it was helpful for the instructors because they had to become more organized in an effort to become clear in their communication. Here's what I'm going to tell you. For that question, what do we really want? There are a variety of ways to answer it, and there are a variety of ways to describe that answer. So this is what I say. We want to play with vibrations. We want to exchange energy. We want to cause desirable effects, and we want to belong, be connected, and finally, to know who we are, which means to know where we came from. Those are a lot of answers. So, let's play with this. Life can be fun if we play. And life itself is energy exchange. If there is no energy exchange, that means there is no life. Now, to have a conversation like that in a hospital in which you say, when this person stops exchanging energy, breathing, brain activity, it means there is no life in this body. And they would look at you like, yes, that's not new news. So we can look at this question, what do we really want from levels of energy density? Now, those kind of words you don't normally think in terms of, but when I describe it in a second, you'll go, oh, I gotcha. That means that what we want for our physical selves may be different than what we want for our emotional or mental or spiritual selves. Mohandas Gandhi was quoted as saying this, "There are people in the world so hungry that God cannot appear to them except in the form of bread." And in 1943, Abraham Maslow proposed a theory of human motivation. That was his title of it, A Theory of Human Motivation. And he described a hierarchy of needs going from the bottom level, which are physiological or physical, on up to the top level, which he described as self-actualization needs. Now, if I go back to the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual selves, not everybody can imagine that we have bodies other than the dense physical bodies that they see, that they notice when they look in the mirror or they look down at their hands or feet or so on. That's okay. I'm not selling this idea. I'm just exploring it. And ultimately, you're going to be in a position to choose to consider whatever it is you want to choose to consider. You have that power, and I would encourage that realization that you have that power. The Dalai Lama, in a book co-authored with a man named Paul Ekman called Emotional Awareness, he points out that in Western medical or Western, now that may be true too, Western religious traditions, they are more faith-based than other traditions around the world, which are more exploration-based. I had a key example of that. In my third year of college, in a theology class, the Jesuit who was the teacher insisted that we not question, but limit ourselves to memorization and believing. We had a heated argument in front of the class. Actually, after the class, a lot of my friends bid me goodbye, thinking that my college career had come to an end as a result of that day in that class. But that Jesuit, he had no response to my point of view that humans and the human mind are essentially explorers, seeking greater awareness. We're not living in the original cave. We have continued to explore. I would say, if you have been hammered into a small box of allowable thoughts, you may want to consider if this is best for you in your life, or if expansion, if greater exploration of ideas and thoughts would serve you. Again, your decision. On a physical level, we want those things and items listed by Maslow. He labels those as air to breathe, food, water, sleep, sex, and other balancing bodily functions. To me, this area could be described as energy exchange with the emphasis on energy acquisition. Throughout our physical lives, we will be acquiring energy. Some forms of energy we're going to be putting into our mouths, some on our bodies as clothing and jewelry and so on. Some form of energy will be added to our environments for our convenience, comfort, entertainment. So you can look around your environments and recognize what those are. So we have taken on this energy. We have acquired this energy. Even at this physical level, we are playing with vibrations. Why do I say that? I say it because our senses, all five or six or however many senses we have, are used to play with vibrations. Sights, sounds, colors, smells, tastes, touches are vibrational in nature. Speaking is an act of playing with vibrations. Singing is another. An artist painting on a canvas is playing with vibrations. Thinking and praying are playing with vibrations. My wife Marianne is a gourmet chef. When she is in the kitchen preparing a meal, you could say on one level that she is just arranging fish, poultry, vegetables. You could also say on another level, she is playing with vibrations, not the least of which is her loving artistry that she is using to conduct the symphony of tastes that always accompany her performance in the kitchen. The presence of her vibrations in and on the food is noticeable to me, because I'm fortunate enough to have it on a daily basis, and guests. It's not the same as ordinary food. It's pretty easy to see that playing with vibrations and energy exchange can overlap. Both processes involve translation of one form of energy into another form of energy. For example, I breathe in air, and then by playing with its release, I speak these words. That's the same process that great opera singers use. It's the same thing that screaming fans at a football game use. It's the same thing for a little girl speaking quietly to her kitten or her puppy. That energy exchange is going on. When we see a cow eating grass in the pasture, we are seeing energy exchange in action. The cow will translate that grass into milk, muscle or meat, and even use that energy to build the body of a new calf that she may be carrying. The cow is a fortunate addition to life on Earth. You know why? Because humans have not developed the ability to directly receive sustaining energy, sustaining vibrations from eating grass. We need some intermediate translator to support us in this process. If you've ever seen a cow pasture, you will notice that patches of grass are growing higher in some places with more vitality than in other places. If I say the cows exchanged energy with the earth, and that you can hear the sounds of that exchange in the form of plops, you go, yep, I have heard that. Energy exchanges for humans can be labeled in so many different ways, and those names kind of obscure that what happening is in fact energy exchange. So here they are, just a few: offering, giving, transmitting, broadcasting, signaling, talking, touching, loving, hating, fighting, sending, looking, attending, intending, thinking about, and even smiling are energy exchanges. One of the most powerfully creative capabilities and characteristics that human beings have is to be able to choose to exchange energy of a high vibration no matter what the circumstances are. People say, well, it's easy to feel good on a beautiful sunny day and everything is going right. And it is. The person who can choose to feel good no matter the weather, no matter what is happening at that moment, is, in fact, more creative as a translator and energy exchanger. There could be a set of beliefs about the issue of availability of energy that could be hindering us. End quotes, I don't have enough energy. End quotes, seems like a statement of fact. It's not. What it does do is it presupposes that that temporary feeling is being interpreted by that person as a state as compared to just an interpretation. That statement overlooks the greater truth of, in quotes, I am not allowing an energy exchange between Source, capital S, and me and another, end quotes. If I went to a farm and said to the farmer, I'm here because I'm interested in harvesting a crop, he would assume that I realized that I would need to exchange energy with the earth in the form of planting seeds before I could hope to harvest a crop. This idea is, I have to give before I get. I have to prime the pump. This is not new news again, because this statement, we reap what we sow, has been recognized in our culture for thousands of years. And it is a recognizing of the truth of this normal energy exchange. We reap what we sow. To put it in the proper sequence, what we sow, we will reap. Sowing comes first, reaping comes second. One of the great challenges of awareness for people is the misunderstanding of how vibrations get into things. We misunderstand when we think those vibrations inherently come in the item that we desire. As an example, let's look at a Rolex watch. A Rolex watch is valuable to a lot of people. And in relative terms, it's an expensive watch. But the value of the Rolex wasn't in that watch until people put the value in that watch. For people who see the Rolex as just another timepiece, just another watch, it doesn't have the same value for, say, a second person who adds a lot of value to that watch, because to him, that Rolex is a symbol of proof. It's proof of his success. It's recognizable status symbol. It is a precision timepiece of great beauty. It's a socially acceptable way of showing off. It says something positive about that person because that person put the value in there. The second person exchanges energy with that Rolex in a far different way than the first person. Playing with vibrations and exchanging energy can be dissected. I made this up. It's just made up. There is a sequence. First, energy acquisition. I already talked about that as it's kind of aligns with what Maslow said on his first level, which I didn't recognize until this morning, frankly. So we have energy acquisition. Energy preservation is another step. That, again, happens to be what Maslow would decide is the second level, moving up this hierarchy of needs. Third level that I talk about is energy translation. I already mentioned it in terms of human beings and cows and so on. And then finally, the fourth is energy movement or expression. That energy needs to be moved. So these four steps are more effective when they are in balance. It's also easy to detect when they're out of balance. The physical body clearly shows when somebody is out of balance. However, with a little bit of awareness, we can also perceive when the emotional states are out of balance. We can also perceive, going further back in the process, that when the mental processes are out of balance, and those, to my way of thinking, precede the physical. So we got the physical. If we back up one step, we've got the emotional. We back up two steps, we got the mental. If we back up to the beginning, we would be talking about the spiritual. Some people tend not to pay attention to the turmoil that they're experiencing from emotional or mental energies being out of balance. They don't see the connection between the problems they're experiencing and that lack of balance in those two areas. It's easy for a lot of people to see a connection between a stomach ache and something they ate an hour ago. Less likely for most people is the awareness of the connection between the, quotes, ingestion, end quotes, the ingestion of the energy of the 6 o'clock news or the frightening headlines in a newspaper. People don't see the mental or emotional precursors of those stomach aches can cause irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, and so on. This was driven home to me as a few years ago. I don't watch the news, but I was watching an HBO series on Rome a couple of years ago, and it was very graphic. It was interesting, but it showed all the worst characteristics of human beings. So I noticed it was interesting and entertaining, but afterwards I didn't feel good. Felt lethargic, kind of dull, maybe a bit discouraged. And after this third experience with this, I realized it was the energy of that series that I was ingesting was disturbing my peace, and I stopped watching it. That kind of energy of the worst of humankind behavior, when you look at the news, is basically what is being fed to us all the time. Energy preservation, the second step that I mentioned, is my phrase that could describe what Maslow puts as his second stage in the hierarchy of needs. There's an old political joke that defines a conservative. It goes like this. A conservative is a liberal who finally has acquired his own money. That means that the preservation of that money, success, status, whatever that happens to represent, becomes that person's top priority, and protecting it against other people who might want to get it, trying to get it, and so on, becomes the factor that shifts their views politically. When we try to preserve energy forms that we're familiar with, and that includes beliefs, rules, opinions, dogma, values, superstitions, as well as physical property, we can become threatened, shaken, destabilized, upset when those things start to get, I'll say, the ground on which they stand starts to shake. When we're faced with new energy, a new idea, we can start to go into stress simply because it's unfamiliar to us. And that triggers fear, triggers a defensiveness as we try to preserve, try to hold on to what we currently know, even if what we currently know doesn't serve us, doesn't work for us, interferes with our happiness and fulfillment. Because it is what we know, we will tend to clutch, hold on to it to preserve it. A former brother-in-law of mine was new to social work. And one of the things he had trouble reconciling in his own mind was when he would go to court and he would be involved in a case of, say, physical child abuse, a father abusing a son, for instance, that was the question was, should the child be taken away from that family for his own protection? That when allowed to, that child would run back to the abuser. He didn't understand that. He didn't understand that need to preserve what is familiar, even though it was painful, awful, frightening, and so on, is the only thing that child knew and wasn't in a position to imagine some alternative that was better. The idea that humans translate energy, as cows do in all other life forms, isn't that hard to grasp. We use energy that we take in to accomplish all manner of things, from great works of art to great acts of barbarism. Right now, as I'm talking, there are inventive geniuses working on creating prosthetic limbs. And at the same time, other inventive geniuses are creating explosive devices to destroy bodies and limbs. We can use energy in the most amazing variety of ways. When I say there is great joy in causing desirable effects, that's not going to come as any shock to you. That's not something that you have never noticed before. In the Bible's Genesis story, God causes and then deems what was caused to be good. There's no record of God saying, oops, or aw shucks, or even holy mackerel, as a result of a creative causative act. God created desirable effects. For those of us who grew up as Roman Catholics, we had the problem of being born defective with the flaw called original sin. For the record, original sin was popularized by St. Augustine around 438 AD. He made this up 400 years after Christ. So, in my opinion, that's not that original. It's pretty late, in fact. It's an add-on. If you were lucky enough to grow up in a family whose parents took their role of teaching you to be effective in life, in all areas of life, you are in the minority. Most parents were convinced that life was like walking on a tightrope, where one misstep would lead into a fall into sin, into a burning pit, social disgrace, hell, or something similar. For those parents who recognized that life was more like a stroll down a wonderful boulevard where tremendous abundance designed by a loving God was on display, that stroll was more about adding to the abundance experienced by their children, as well as adding to that awareness to those experiences of other people. If we've had a lot of incidents in our lives where we were condemned or criticized or punished or verbally or emotionally or physically abused as we practiced becoming effective, we will tend to have problems with what we allow ourselves to cause, what kind of effects we will allow, what kind of effects we fear and negatively expect, what we're trying to prevent ourselves from causing, what we're trying to avoid experiencing being caused by somebody else, and so on. We may want to rethink our entire relationship to cause and effect. And while we're at it, we might want to think about God being labeled as cause with a capital C. When I get carried away with myself and start thinking I'm the cause, I'm doing it, I remind myself that, number one, I don't know how to heal a little scratch, I don't know how to digest food, and I don't know how to grow hair on my head. In reality, we're not that causative unless cause, with a capital C, is working through us. Seems to me Jesus made this really clear in some of the things documented in the Bible, and that is, it wasn't Jesus, but God working through him that was doing the work. God is capital cause, we may be little cause. So, how do we belong? How do we connect? Here's how. We desire it. We decide to. And then we exchange energy with a person or thing or environment or concept using the highest vibration that we can at that moment. When we don't exchange energy, we hold ourselves back. We interfere with our own health, our own happiness, our own unfoldment, our own enhancement, our own expansion. When we practice exchanging healing spirit, and frankly, any vibration that is higher than the vibration currently being experienced is healing spirit, we become more effective. When we become more effective, we automatically become more aware of where we came from and who we are. I believe we came from cause, capital C. And our role is to be cause, lowercase c, in alignment with original cause. So, I've talked about playing with vibrations, exchanging energy, causing desirable effects, wanting to belong, being connected, and finally, knowing who we are and knowing where we came from. It's your choice as to whether you play with these vibrations that I expressed this morning. These words are not a substitute for your own well-thought-out beliefs. They could be an alternative to memorized dogma, but you get to decide. This idea of accepting substitutes for what we really want is a dilemma that a lot of us face. Advertising on television is designed to distort our awareness about what it is we want. We don't have to accept substitutes for God energy, no matter how well they're marketed, no matter what is being marketed. Smiling faces of actors on drug advertising on TV, for instance, they're meant to convince us that what we are lacking in our lives are those specific chemicals manufactured by that specific pharmaceutical companies. I believe this to be true, that if we have a problem, the only thing lacking in our lives would be God's healing spirit. So, what do we really want in our lives? More of God's healing spirit, and we can connect to it. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, source and connection to all that is, thank you for all of our blessings and our ever-growing awareness of our relationship with your energy as it flows to us and through us. As we become more skillful, more effective at enjoying it and passing it on to others, causing desirable effects in our lives and in their lives. And it is so. Thank you. Amen.